Father, we receive this morning much more insight, revelation, knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for correction. Thank you for persuasion that come from your word. Thank you for the explanation that comes this morning that explains only Jesus Christ. All our eyes behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now we continue our teaching, investigating the power of God. And I've, from the way I'm looking at it, it will be an addendum. Is that what I call it? An addition, something like that, to the teaching on two kinds of righteousness. The teaching series that I suggest, and I think that sometimes this year will come out as a book. Praise the Lord. And so we want to add this to it, so it makes it more comprehensive. I don't know whether I have to change the topic, but I'll just leave it at investigating the power of God, two kinds of righteousness. Ridiculous, right? Alright, 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, so able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now, notice this. It says salvation through faith in Christ will be for you and I the light of the Old Testament. If there's any area where many a believer encounter challenges in studying Scripture, it's always in the Old Testament books. But it shouldn't be a problem, because we just saw Paul say to Timothy now that you become wise in the Old Testament when you know what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ. In other words, the light, or what you can call the formula, like we say in the natural, the formula to interpret and understand the Old Testament will be in the light of Christ. So you can put it like this. That faith in Christ is the light to study the Old Testament. Show me faith in Christ. Say like a minute. Faith in Christ is the light to study the Old Testament. That's how you study the Old Testament. So quickly look at Romans 1:16-17. And you're going to be very alert this morning. I may not be as fast, but I may not be slow. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, remember, we're talking about the power of God. Now, in the natural, when you talk about power, it's just the same way you are the president of a nation. Power will mean your ability to command troops and stuff like that, to inflict, you know, punishment on people like that. And somehow that's our mind. That's the way we see God's power, because we think that man's power reflects God's power. But that won't be true. If we don't submit that man's wisdom reflects God's wisdom, then we shouldn't think that man's power, or man's definition of power, reflects God's power. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, he says the power of God is the gospel of Christ. The power of God is the gospel of Christ. Man, I thought that, so the power of God would be a legion of angels or stuff like that. But he says the power of God is the gospel of Christ. Now go to Romans 1:1. The very first time he mentions the word power. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The term gospel of God means the gospel that came from God. The gospel that came from God. Was there a gospel that came from God? Here's the word euangelion. You know what that is already? E-U-A-G-G or E-U-A-G-E-L-L-I-O-N. It means something someone says or promises or says to another person. So if I call it the gospel of God, that means God must have been the one who uttered it, or it was said on his behalf. Now, he tells you exactly how it came to be. How did God how did God put out this gospel? Or better still, how did he put the gospel? In verse 2, which he promised before Now, the word promised before is just one word. He promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, when we say the Holy Scriptures, what are we referring to? Talk to me. Well, that's what? Genesis to Malachi. I think it's World Changers Conference. I'll be explaining what it means to say Old Testament. So you stop using some terminologies again, right? What, when you say Old Testament, to be clear, what Old Testament is. Last year we did, what was it? Yesterday was grace message? No, faith message, right? This year will be the Old Testament. Hallelujah. We're going to teach the Old Testament. So you know how to handle the Old Testament. So the term from the scriptures means that you will find this gospel where? Where would you find this gospel of God? Huh? Genesis to Malachi. So you will find gospel in Genesis to Malachi. He says the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The word promised before is prohipagaleo. I explained that to you before. It's used in two places. 2 Corinthians 9:5. It means to say something before it happens. In other words, you will find the gospel in a promissory note. He doesn't make it ineffective. It actually still makes it effective. Okay? In a promissory note. Faith makes the gospel effective either as a promise or as a fulfillment. I'll take that one more time. Faith makes the gospel effective whether as a promise or as a fulfillment. Don't forget that. Okay, so he promised beforehand. So God in the Old Testament will be found in the promises that were made. God in the Old Testament will be found in the promises that were made. Now, what was unique about the promise? I want you to listen carefully. You see, many people, and in discussing with many who were raised in church, and are now very cold about either the faith or Christianity, is because of a God they thought they knew. They are fighting someone else. They are becoming atheists over a God they never knew. Because if people were properly taught or explained to you, I suppose they wouldn't feel that way. Now, as a younger Christian, for example, I saw God just that same way. I recall one brother in the fellowship who came to the meeting and his eyes were black, bulging. And I asked, what happened to that brother? He said, attack. I said, attack from who? He said, that I was still a young Christian. That when you begin to graduate in the spirit realm, that there are some attacks that are unique to spiritual growth. And I told myself, I don't want to grow. How will I come to church with a black eye? And they say it's an attack for the God's generals. And I'm wondering, and I felt, that way, really ridiculous. I must have shared this before. Maybe I talk about it. There was a time I was so hungry that I went into the, some of you know the story, right? I went to take the tithe box and I took money. I was so hungry and I promised the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to put this back. It's in the tithe box. Nobody's going to touch it till next week. If I take this money, I'll return it next week. I promise you I'll do it. And so I took the money. Did I tell the story? I lost the money. Then I lost every other money. I just kept losing money. I wasn't able to spend the money and every other kind of money. So I said to myself, God must have really been angry. It was 50 kobo. Precisely. Now, back then, 50 kobo was quite some money. Is that still 50 kobo? When you take 50 kobo and the dollars, it should be like something and nothing, So I felt, God must have really been angry that I touched his money. And I lost every other money. Now, what I did was horrible, unchristianly, satanic, devilish. But whatever happened to me wasn't from God either. You see? But I didn't know. So, from that point, I wouldn't take anything that belonged to the Lord because I felt that He You can't joke with him. You can't even play with him. You know, you can't even tell him, can I take your money and give you next week? You know, things like that, you know. But then that's the God I thought I knew that I didn't know. So he calls the gospel the power of God. Then he says, what exactly should I look out for in the Old Testament? He says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 3? Peri, alright? Peri, Hios, Christos, or Messiah. Kurios. It's just some Greek words, right? Don't bother, that wasn't a tongue. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, that's his incarnation. But look at verse 4. And declared the Son of God with power. Notice that. So that's the first time he will mention power. He mentions power again in verse 16. But the first time he will mention power, he says, and declared the Son of God, not to be, the word to be there is italicized. Declared the Son of God. He never became the Son of God. He was declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The word declared is the word horizo. Horizo is used in a way to determine something, okay, to mark out. That means amongst others. In other words, when it uses horizo, that is amongst all those who spoke for God or who spoke on behalf of God, this one was determined. In other words, if you want to know God, if you want to know what he's saying, this is the person. It's the word horizo. Let's see where horizo is used. Luke 22:22. Quickly. Luke 22:22. We have some other text to check, so we have to be fast. Luke 22:22. Mentions it. He said, it was determined for true son of God was returned, and woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Okay, Luke 22:22. Acts is where you find it prominently used. Acts 2:23. Delivered by the determinate counsel of God, something that he chose to do, amongst other things. Acts 10:42. Command us to preach that he was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. So whenever you find this word original, Acts 11:29, okay, Acts 17:29, Acts 17:31. Whenever you see that word used, Acts 11:29, Acts 17:26, Acts 17:31, then you will see it used in Hebrews 4:7. Quickly go to Hebrews 4:7. Horizo. Hebrews 4:7. It always typifies a uniqueness of that person. Hebrews 4:7. Hebrews 4:7 says, again, he limited a certain day. That word limited means he marks out a certain day. Saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So he says, he marks out a certain day. Or better still, a period. He says, this period, amongst other periods, this will be a unique period. Okay, so every time you find horizo, it's amongst other things. So if we use Jesus, mark out the Son of God, that will be amongst who? Amongst who? The prophets. He's marked out separate. He's not a messenger, he is a message. So he's marked out, the Son of God. And uniquely, pay attention to this. Now, let me quickly mention this, because this is vital. Now, when it says he marked out a certain day in Hebrews 4:7, where was that prophecy first of all given? That prophecy, or better still, that truth was first of all revealed to Moses, whom I believe wrote the book of Hebrews. The guy was asking me who wrote the book of Genesis. He said, why do you always say Moses wrote the book of Genesis? I asked him who wrote it. He said, well, we don't know. So why would you think it's not Moses? I said, every time the Bible is being spoken about, you say Moses and the prophets. Moses. And so why would you think it's not Moses? I said, well, you know what? I don't go into this kind of endless debate. Or I go and do a series on who wrote the book of Genesis. You know, maybe the person's name is Genesis. Hebrews 2. Is when you don't want to know the truth of God's word that you'll be going after unnecessary things. Hebrews 2. Remember, we saw this before. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because it's in it that he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. Now remember, in our study, I made you see that this was the first understanding of God's plan for man. that the rest of God is exactly what God had intended for man. He marked out that for man. Now, of course, when we say Sabbath, Sabbath is not a Sunday. Right? It's not a Tuesday. It's not a Wednesday. Sabbath simply refers, pay attention, to faith in God. Where God does the work and you do the believing. You understand that? So that means before man committed a single sin, God had offered him what? Sabbath. Is that very clear? Sabbath preceded sin. So, in case you're still investigating what did Adam do, I think it's clear for you. Right? Come on. Alright, good. So, that is very clear for you. So, God had limited a day way, 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 way before Moses mentioned a seventh day, or day or Sabbath year. So, he says a certain day. He marked out a certain day. And so that's why I taught you in the earlier series that faith in God is not a cure. Faith in God is actually the plan. Faith in Christ, actually. So when you say faith in God, be very careful. Just say faith in Christ. Because demons also believe and tremble. Faith in Christ is not an afterthought. Faith in Christ is the plan, is the purpose and the provision. So quickly look at this. So the power of God is seen in that gospel. Go back to Romans 1. That's where we're at. Romans 1. By the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection from the dead. So, God's promise is in what? The resurrection of Jesus. Remember that? Can you remember that? Remember that. So, that's where you'll find his character. And I like to say this because if there's anything we need to resolve quickly and resolve on time, is knowing the character of God. You know, yesterday we were in the class and, you know, we because I can't tell you much of what was discussed. It would be too ridiculous for some of you here. But in our class, we're doing, can we call that a tutorial? No, was that one of us? We're doing a tutorial in our class tonight. And I found out that even amongst us, and I told them in the class, I said, do you know that there's still a mindset you all have about God? These are folks who teach school, you know, some of them teach better than I do. And I said, your mindset still carries a God that you read as so and so portions of scripture. So I told them, I said, our next class, we're going to extract some places of the Bible and study some places exclusively so that we can understand what we're talking about. So we're trying to look at the character of God, and we looked at so many instances. I'm not giving you any clue, so don't bother looking at me. So what exactly was the class about? You know, it was an hermeneutics class. And I said, you still need to take off certain things that are in your mind. I know, for example, that even till now, when I think about Garden of Eden, I see two people, a man and a woman covered with skin, and then they had apple. Then the lion. I read that from my book of Bible stories by Jehovah's Witness. There's no way it hasn't left my mind. Do you understand? I can imagine what some of you are going through right now. Because that's just what you knew. Praise God. Yeah, that's. Then the woman calls the man on that. And, you know, stuff like that. I almost said something I said yesterday. I won't say it today. Because I don't want questions and answers. Say, sir, but what about this? You know, just leave that. So, that mindset about God has informed why we think the way we do. Look at James, John 1:17. You can't read the Bible through and through and be confused about God. What you will see is a progressive revelation in the Old Testament. For example, do you know what we said now about rest was repeated by Moses in Exodus 20. Then again, David now prophesied it again. David now prophesied it. In other words, you'll see it became clearer after a while. It became clearer. David now prophesied No, gradually. You see, until Jesus said, hey, the Sabbath you're talking about, man created it. There's a Sabbath of God, which is a promise. The Sabbath of God is a person. Hallelujah. You get that? So, you need to understand that it's not contradictory, it is progressive revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Progressive revelation. Very, very instructive. So go back to John 1. John 1 now. John 1, 17. For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, when it says the law was given by Moses, that means Moses offered the law. You didn't have to take it. Grace and truth. Now, in Bible study, is it grace plus truth? Grace, which is the truth, came by Jesus. The word came is ginomai, right? To become or to occur or to exist as, which is the same word in John 1:14. The word became flesh. In other words, grace, which is the truth, exists how? Exists as Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the truth personified, and he is the grace of God personified. So why did he now use the word truth? The truth there means the truth about who? The truth about God. So grace is the truth about who? God. Grace, which is the truth about God, came by Jesus. Let's look at Moses, you know. Moses, Exodus 33. Moses is a personality that we need to figure out. Here's Moses. Moses! Because I know a lot of people blame Moses a lot. I've seen some folks say, Moses! But I don't have any fault with Moses. The law was given by Moses. You know it is that the law exists as Moses. The law was given by Moses. Now let's see why he gave the law. Exodus 33. The same Moses, after he had given them the law and all that, he now goes to God. Did you notice something about Moses? He told them before they go to the temple, he built a temple for them to worship God. He goes directly. He said, you know what? He had intimidated Aaron so much, he warned Aaron, if you enter without blood, you will come out with blood. He had intimidated Aaron, but Aaron was probably too scared to ask him, but I've never seen you offer blood. He'll just go. Do you notice? He was going into the tabernacle. He would tell them what to do. He would enter the same tabernacle. Yes. And he didn't do what he told them to do. Same person. I remember when I was teaching this law and the prophet, was it last year, 2 years ago, a guy started to cry after the service. He said, in my life, I'd never seen that is exactly what Moses was like. He was trying to blame Moses. I said, don't blame Moses. And I'll tell you why he won't blame Moses in a moment. He'll just enter. He just goes into the same talk. He said, build it like this. He was a pattern of Jesus' finished work. Moses built it as a tabernacle. He never entered the tabernacle. He had believed Jesus' finished work. So he said, you don't believe that? Enter. Oh yeah, bring blood. Did you ever wonder why he never offered any sacrifice? Or he was not offering sacrifices. He gave them a priest. High priest. Low priest. You see why? So he goes, and he says to God, he says, you know what? Verse 18. I beseech you, Exodus 33, show me your glory. He says, show me your glory. The word glory is kabod in the Hebrew, which is to show your weight. Who are you? Now, if I ask, for example, the president of America, show me your glory. Show me what you can do. I recall I was watching the news the other day, and the Nigerian police and army and all that, they were trying to show, they were going to conduct an election, so they were trying to show people, you know, that they were around. So they just, and they now showed, you know, in news, you're just shooting, back. They'll do some stunts around, so hey, where them? You know, that's showing your glory. So Moses is talking to God, show me your glory. I said, out here, then the moon will just become the sun. Sun become the moon. Then you just see human beings to call animals. Should I do more? You want me to show you? Who is me? He said, show me your glory. Why is Moses saying this? He had just parted the sea. He had just decided by his own handiwork and the angels, he had decided to put Pharaoh underwater, not to swim, and his soldiers. He had done so much signs and wonders in Egypt, then he says, show me your glory. And the same things he had done had some things some people today boast in their ministry, and they call it the glory of God. And he said, show me your glory. And I thought God was there. He was there. Boah. The next thing he says, look at verse 19. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And he will be gracious unto whom I'll be gracious. I'll have shown mercy unto whom I will have mercy. Hallelujah. That's interesting. He calls his goodness his glory. Hallelujah. Moses knew that. Are you following me? He calls his goodness his glory. Look at the word goodness. The word goodness is from the Hebrew word tob, T-U-B, used 32 times. I'll give you the first three times it's used. T-U-B. Top, his goodness. Quickly look at this. Genesis 24 verse 10. You know, sometimes when you say his goodness, it just means maybe his good face. Maybe his good face. Genesis 24. You there? Verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. Actually, the Hebrew word says, all the good things of his master. Genesis 45 verse 18. Genesis 45 verse 18. Top, T-U-B. Genesis 45 verse 18. And take your father and your households and come unto me. This is Joseph speaking. And I'll give you the good of the land, and you shall, land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Look at verse 20. And regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. T-U-B. It's taken from T-O-B, top, same word. Numbers 11:18. You know, you have good face. That guy is good because he smiles. You know. Numbers 11:18. Yep. And I'll come down and talk with thee. It's not Numbers 11. It's not Numbers 11. I'll get it for you later. Now, whenever that word is used, it's used for things, actions, commodities. So, when God says, I will make my goodness pass before you, in other words, I'll make good things come before you. You will see it.
That's why the Hebrew writer says that he saw the riches of Christ. Good things. Moses saw the glory of God as his goodness. His kindness. What he gives for the benefits of the recipient. Good things. Some say good things. That's what he saw. So, Moses knew about the grace of God. He saw it. He knew who God was in his goodness. That's Moses. Then why then did he offer something different to Israel? Why? He saw the goodness of God. He heard God say to him, this is my goodness. Why? Look at Exodus 20. Hallelujah. Let's wait for this. Exodus 20. Is Moses? Verse 18, 19. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoked. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar and said unto Moses, are you in verse 19? Speak thou with us, and we will hear you. And let not God speak with us, lest we die. So, this people were actually what he called them, stiff-necked. They said, let God speak with us. No, sorry, don't let God speak with us. You speak with us. Look at Galatians 3. Please follow this very well. Galatians 3. It's not humility. It's actually unbelief. Galatians 3. Are you verse 18? I start from verse 19 actually. Where then serveth the law? It was added because of what? Transgressions. Come on. Because of what? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Now, who made Moses the mediator? Huh? Men. God never appointed Moses a mediator of the Old Testament. Because God never gave the Old Testament. Someone follow what I'm saying? God never gave the law. Moses was appointed by men. He was a man appointed mediator. Look at that word mediator. Galatians 3. The word mediator was used in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. It says, remember what it says. It says there's one mediator. No, verse 20. Is it verse 20 now? Galatians 3, 20. It says one mediator, right? Which is God, right? Now look at this. 1 Timothy 2, 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. Who is the person? Who's the person? Follow that one. Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. And now he had obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better testament or covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 9:15. For this cause is a mediator of a new covenant. Talk about Jesus. Hebrews 12:24. A mediator. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So have you discovered that there was no time Moses was called the mediator? Are you there? Are you following this? So, who made him the mediator? So, mediator is used for who? Jesus. Who appointed Moses? Huh? Should I say like this? Unbelief appointed Moses. They appointed Moses. Do you know that even in Galatians 3, his name was not mentioned? Did you understand his name was not mentioned? So, both the law and the mediation was added. Remember, we know we studied that? That the law was added because of what? Transgression. Now, was the law added because man sinned, or sin added the law? It can't be because man sinned. Sin was already in the world. So the reason for the law was sin. It was sin that birthed the law. It was added. Know that word? Is it the word desekomai, right? Was that the word? No. Pass upon. I think it's the word kasitemi. Am I right? I'm sure you're right. It was added, that means it was not part of it at all. So unbelievers or unbelief was what made the law. The law was never God's plan. It's still not his plan. It was never, it is never, will never be. The law didn't come from God. Now, the law was given by Moses. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, Moses was a man-appointed mediator. That's what he was. It was added because of transgression, Galatians 3. What transgression? Galatians 3. Till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made, it was ordained by angels and had a mediator. If you look at Paul's argument, Paul says the law in verse 17 cannot disannul the promise. That shows you they are contrasting things. They didn't come from the same source. But let me ask you, was the promise in effect when the law was in effect? Huh? Yes. Did you have a choice to believe the promise then? Was there a choice to believe the promise? Yes, there was. Did Moses ever live by the law? No. He walked in God's promise. He believed the gospel. So watch this now. It was added because of transgressions. The word transgression is the word parabasis in the Greek. You see it in Romans 2:23, Romans 4:15. Romans 2:23, Romans 4:15. Describing the law. But I want to pick out just two texts. Or Romans 2, okay, I'll give you two more. Hebrews 2:2, that's still the law. And Hebrews 9:15. So Romans 2:23, the law. Romans 4:15, the law. Hebrews 2:2, the law. Hebrews 9:15. But I'll pick out two that wasn't referring to the law. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned over from Adam to Moses, Romans 5:14, even over them that had not seen after the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is, don't forget that, the figure of that which was to come, Romans 5:14. So, Adam's sin was called a transgression. Now, you can imagine, why would I call something a transgression when there was no law? Romans 5:14. 1 Timothy 2. Verse 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So, we've seen Adam's sin was called transgression. Now that would be transgression from the law.
No.
Transgression is to break away or break off from. Now, what will be the transgression of Adam since there was no law? It will be a transgression from the promise. Are you there? So, it's a transgression from the promise. What exactly made Moses a mediator? Tell me. You should get that quickly. What made Moses a mediator? Transgression from what?
The promise.
God gave them a promise. Said, no, don't let him talk to us. You stay. God says, you know what? I'm going to make you guys a kingdom of priests. You all be priests. You all be king. Say, no, we don't want. So what will be the transgression? Transgression from God's promise. Let me see how they're following this. Are you following this? So God's presence was given to them. They said it was going to kill. God gave them life. They called it death. Are you following this at all? Are you following this? Good. So who appointed Moses as a mediator? It was not God. It was the man who appointed Moses. Their unregenerate nature made Moses a champion. Look at Deuteronomy 32. You learn some? Are you learning some? I was saying yesterday in the class, do you know that this impression, or better still, this fact of history dominates a large portion of the Old Testament? And that's why many of us carry that thinking about God, because it's that incident, or that instance, that dominates majority of how we see God in the Old Testament. Look at Deuteronomy 32 one more time. Verse 15. And Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou had waxed fat and thou had grown thick. Thou was covered with fatness when he forsook God which made him, and lightly did what? Lightly did what? Esteemed the rock of his salvation. So, who forsook Christ? The Jews. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, Moses is telling them why the law was given, why he was giving them the law. Look at verse 20. Exodus 32. I will hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be. For their forward generation, that is one who goes off, children in whom there is no what? Faith. Someone following this? Are you following this? Now faith in what? Come on. Faith in who? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. We started earlier, we said that what did God promise in the scriptures? Christ Jesus. So every unbelief was unbelief in Christ. Look at that. Matthew 19. 11. So God gave them the law. When he now gave them the law. No, God never gave the law. We saw that before. Let's say it again. You know, it will take some time for those kind of things to sink. Praise the Lord. Despite the fact that some of us have the privilege of having all the books of the Bible in one book, we still have not accepted the Bible as true.
But the Bible says, God said.
If you read and keep reading and you come to the 4 Gospels, and then the epistles, you will never think or ever conclude that God gave the law. It will be clear to you. Just like Paul said about the Jews. He says, many of us still read Moses with our minds being blinded even until this day. Until this day. Some of you, your mediator is still Moses. Hallelujah. Imagine the great mediator say, show me your glory. After he had bragged before the people, he has stood like a champion. Now goes and says, let me see something. And God says, see my goodness. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Matthew 19. They said, Jesus. In verse 3, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? When I studied that divorce law, was it a couple of days back? I said, Moses must have been in a hurry. He just gave them open-ended. You can almost divorce a woman for the fact that she was not in the kitchen, the living room, and the other room. Very ridiculous statement. You can almost, he was for every reason. And there was this chauvinistic approach that is not found in God. It's not found in God. Hallelujah. Very chauvinistic approach. You read the Old Testament and you will see it. So a man could just, after a while, say, when she's not clinging, say, but for any other reason, he just left it open in a hurry. And some of you are still teaching that in marriage counseling class. You enter a marriage counseling class and they open Exodus for you and you didn't run away. They now open the Deuteronomy and say, you see Leviticus? Wife, sit down. Leviticus 15. And you sat there. And you are taking counseling. That's cancellation. Something is wrong with you. Follow this now. Jesus said, have you not read? What does it mean that? Anaginosko, which means to pay attention to details. Can you remember? That he that which made them at the beginning, made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife and they shall twin be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twin but one flesh. What God, therefore God has joined together, let the man put asunder. And then they say, ah, see where he took us. This is a fact that Moses himself penned down. Moses wrote, Abraham believed in the Lord. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Moses himself wrote it down. Right? Then he also gave you, if you will hearken to the Lord your God and do all that he has commanded you. And I just say, do all I have commanded you. Hallelujah. But don't forget, he also told them, if you confess with your mouth, the word is nigh thee in your heart, in your mouth. You know, he also said it. So you cannot blame him at all. He was a self-appointed mediator. So Jesus now told them, so they told Jesus, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Even the Jews understood it was Moses. Are you following this? And Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you. Actually, that word should be suffered in literal terms. I know in literal terms it's not suffer, it means allow, but I actually think it's suffered. It will suffered you to put away your wives, and for from the beginning, it was not so. Are you following this? In the consistent character of God, everything Moses told them to do was not consistent with God. That's what he's saying here, in this context. And it was not so. So you can see the reason why those things were given. The hardness of your heart. And this goes into several other issues. Many, many issues. Praise God. Say praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 4:2. So if you carry an impression of God that people under the law had is your business. Do you understand? It's your business. It's your business. Hebrews 4:2. Are you there? Let's take it together. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. I'll take it one more time, everybody. Let's go. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, who are the them? Those who left Egypt for Canaan. But the word preached did not profit them, not being what? Mixed with faith in them that heard it. So what did they not do to the word? He didn't mix it with faith. And that was the reason why the law was given to them. And the word, the gospel, is about who? Jesus. Let me see how you're following this. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, come on, are you following this? So if you are studying the Old Testament, you must rightly divide. You must rightly divide. Look at John 5. I really advise us, sometimes we should ask new converts to first of all read the epistles very well before they go to the Old Testament. Sometimes it's better. John 5. John 5. If you're there, say amen. Look at verse 45. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even you, Moses. In whom? Can you see it? So, who appointed Moses? Can you see it again? In whom you trust. Did Moses trust Moses? I ask a question. Did Moses trust Moses? Hebrews 11 says Moses had faith in Christ. And the men now had faith in Moses. In whom you trust. Look at verse 46. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now what is he saying? That means, in Moses' giving of the law, he also what? Gave them the gospel of Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear? So at what point did they receive the law from Moses? When they transgressed from the promise. So it's not like God appointed Moses to punish Israel. It would be inconsistent with his character. Who appointed Moses? Men did. Are you listening? Alright, good. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, that's Jews, verse 1, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized into Moses. They identified with Moses. Look at Psalm 103, verse 7 and 8. Is anybody here baptized into Moses? Huh? Some believers are. They are baptized into Moses. Have you seen some people argue with you about trousers? They say, man shall not put on what pertaineth to him. And that thing can be very injurious. We had a camp meeting some years back, I think 2002, and it was for secondary school folks. Great meeting, the word of God was taught. And one boy just was, I have a question. Why are the sisters wearing trousers? Boy probably was in GSS 2. Why are the sisters wearing trousers? He had come with the Bible open to Deuteronomy 22. We were teaching. I remember the theme was 1 John 5:4. The theme was over the top. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. He just had it to me opened. He found the place where it was written. Do you get it? The question will be, why would you like that verse? Why? Because until this day, a veil remains on your heart. When you study those things, you should thank God that that's not God. A God isn't a tailor. So, what did you just wear? No. My presence abhors these kind of things. You know? And the boy was like that. And many people are like that. Some folks cannot take a woman. They can't stand a woman preaching on the pulpit. Is it biblical? And they'll go to university and be lectured by a woman. Not true? Very good. No. A woman should lead choruses. Aren't you thinking? A woman who is leading choruses is also teaching you. Eh? Yes. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you come together, every one of you, male and female, has a doctrine. 1 Corinthians 20:26. And the women should not be part of, when we are in the Holy Ghost meeting of believers, we say, woman, you just have revelation. You have tongues that don't get to doctrine. You'll also give doctrine. But you see, your mind can be so blinded reading Moses. Psalm 103. Are you there? Look at verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I don't think the Jews will agree with verse 8. The ones that Moses showed skills. What kind of slow to anger? He came back from Sinai, he brought down stones, he saw they were worshiping idols and 3,000 people died. What slowness is that? How many days? When the epistle says that the sun must not go down upon your wrath. Jesus said, if you are offended 70 times 7, this particular God on Sinai, 70 times 7, it was 0 times 0. He reacted. That's how you know it wasn't God. And see David, though, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins. How can you say that to those that were destroyed in Sinai? Not the world is according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. How? Moses knew this. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He knew this. But was he the one that told them not to know it? No. They said, you know what? You go and know. Be our mediator. And they got what they wanted. Let me see how they are following this. His ways. Look at that word ways. I think it's important we study what it means. The word ways is the word derek. In the Hebrew, it means it's used for a distance. A distance. You see it in Genesis 3:24, interestingly, the way of the tree of life. Genesis 3:24. The way of the tree of life. Genesis 6:12. The way of man. It means a distance. He knew the distance of God. In other words, he knew God's purpose and plan. He knew his promise. Whenever you use the word way, it's not for a past occurrence. It's actually for a regular occurrence. It simply means that God was predictable. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? God was very predictable. Moses knew he was predictable. Moses knew that God is good. Moses knew that God doesn't do evil, that the affliction of God is his goodness. When God wants to afflict you, he'll just be good to you. There is affliction. When someone says, I'm going to afflict you, it will be his goodness. So he knew his ways. Are you there? Who's following this? So he knew God's distance. He knew how far he will go. Praise God. Do you know Abel also did? Abel knew. Abel knew. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses penned down. Moses knew. Abraham believed in the Lord. These were the same Jews that I'll be talking about. Abraham, our father. Abraham, our father. Have they forgotten that Abraham believed in the Lord and that was why he was declared righteous? They should have had enough sense to know, well, don't let me blame them much, but they need to know, they have to have known that Abraham had no law he was keeping. Abraham, the hero of the Jews, was an hero because of faith in Christ. So you can see that they were stiff-necked and they were actually people with no faith. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, is Moses still your mediator? Shouldn't be. I wrote in my note, I said, the law is actually Moses himself. Deuteronomy 31 verse 9, let's see this. So are you blaming Moses? I'm asking. Are you blaming Moses?
No.
Deuteronomy 31 verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests of the sons of Levi, which bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. Hallelujah. All the elders of Israel. He gave them the law. Look at verse 26. This book of the law. Take this book of the law, put it inside of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and be therefore a witness against you. Can you imagine? He said it to them, against you. He was accusing them. A witness against you. Verse 26, 27. For I know thy rebellion. Are you following this? Thy stiff neck. Behold, what am I alive with you this day? You have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Can you imagine? Insecurity. Say, so when you get to the land, you do this, you do that. Did he live after the same law? No. So why did he call them stiff-necked? Because they said, we don't want to talk to God. We don't want God to talk to us. Who? Talk to us. Hallelujah. Somebody follow this. Very good. Look at verse 13. He says in verse 13 that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over the Jordan to possess. So it was given to them even where? In the promised land. That was what the law was given to them for. Look at verse 29. Chapter 29 verse 29. He left us enough witness. Only that just like Jesus said, we have not read properly. Who's learning something this morning? Are you learning something? 29:29. God has never been inconsistent. 29:29. Well, now let me ask you a question. What has been inconsistent in the Bible? God or man? Thank you. Hallelujah. Don't use man's inconsistency to call it God's inconsistencies. 29:29. This was at the end of his ministry. Very similar to what Jesus said. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Let me ask you. The things revealed will be what? What he told them. The secret things belong to God. Abba. Abba. You know, the secret things belong to God. Things that He knew. Tell but the ones I have taught you, they are for you and your children. Now, you don't blame him. They said he did not want to hear from God. Are you following this? I said, that God that you didn't want to hear from, the secret things belong to him. But the one I've taught you is for you and your children. Hallelujah. The word secret is the word safar in the Hebrew. It's the same word used in 1 Corinthians 2:7, the hidden wisdom. It refers to Christ. Hallelujah. It refers to Christ. So, if he's saying the secret things belong to God, the things that are revealed, that means the things revealed did not come from God. Are you following that? It's a contrast. So, their unbelief hid them from the gospel. Their unbelief hid them from the revelation of God in Christ. Let me say this clearly. The only authentic revelation of God is in Christ Jesus. And that is why when you study the epistles and study the four gospels, then to the epistles, you will only know God in the Father. You will only know God in the Father. God didn't get born again. He has seen so much blood in his hands, then he changed. You will only see him in the Father. And that mentality, like I was saying in the class yesterday, I'm going to bring that class all over again. The fact is that even Jesus' disciples, after 3.5 years, is not enough. After 3.5 years, they could still bring out his sword and cut someone's ear. So, hearing the word 3.5 years, don't think you have arrived. You see that thing so? After everything he told them about his kingdom, they still said, when will you, after he rose from the dead, 40 days of teaching, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still expecting a king like David, despite the fact that those folks were earthly kings. There was only a king. Hallelujah. Are you following this thing? You know, they rejected the gospel, that's why they appointed kings. Are you aware of that? But we use that, you know what? You know, the king, like David. The king, may God give you wisdom like Solomon. You are who? It's you that will take it. Hallelujah. I've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What's wrong with you? Praise the Lord. You know, he said the secret things belong to God. And glory to God, they are found in Christ today. So you see that consistency in Christ. I mean, these guys were so, they still were used to that system that one day they were going to preach somewhere and then they go, don't come! I said, come on. What kind of Christ is or power, whatever? We don't let them go like that. Jesus dodged those people. Say, this might be a man of God. He won't dodge. Dodging. The time they came after Jesus, and you know Jesus ran away. How can you run away, a man of God? You just look like this, and the glory of God will shine. You know. You could see that the angels, you know, I told you about angels, and you know, angels also changed their perception about God. You don't know this, that means you've been doing science in church, you've not been coming to church. Angels also changed. If you see that, when they came after Jesus, you could see that the angels had to do something. So who is Jesus? I am he. The angels just did something. Those guys fell down. Like, give us the instruction. If I wanted a legion. Hallelujah. Then unless who is this was? You can imagine those guys fell under and still came up to arrest him. That means he taught the angels a lesson. The power of God is never in violence. Hallelujah.
No. I told you, but God can rescue people without hurting a fly. In fact, that is how he does it.
If you see an angel rescue someone and hurt someone, he's learning. He's growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. You know, the angels learned over time. Every time they were rescuing things in the Old Testament, they would leave mark. Mark of their exploits. But from the epistles, from the four gospels, they didn't hurt anybody again. That means they were learning. And fast. Praise God. They didn't hurt anyone again. They entered Egypt. The Yoruba say you can't be a child of a king without having the mark. They left Ayope. You know the king. But they were learning. Because if the Jews and the prophets had so much to know about God, how much more angels who are ordinary when it comes to man and revelation? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand what I'm saying, go and get So Great Salvation 5. I explained all this in much more detail. So, you could see that there were things that were hidden from them. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, the hidden wisdom from the foundation of the world. So these things were hidden. They were not hid by God. They were hid from man by man. And the only access to it would be what? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ opens up the revelation of God to you. There are many of us today, our faith is two ways. We are double-minded. We have faith in Christ, we still have faith in Moses. And you'll be unstable in all your ways. You say, well, God is sovereign. He's a good God, but he's also a just God. He's a just God. What do you mean by just God? Ha! That means you'll be good when you are good. But when you are bad, you won't be bad, you'll just be just. Hallelujah. You'll have been stunned when Jesus said, Moses told you an eye for an eye. Jesus now said, you don't resist evil. Eh? So don't resist it. I should know what? He said, don't retaliate. And you'll be like your heavenly father. Hallelujah. Who do you believe? Who do you believe? Okay, you can't even say it. See, I believe the Bible. Who do you believe? Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Moses also believed in Jesus. And the men believed in Moses. Imagine if somebody decides to believe in you. If somebody believes in you, a whole nation now believe in you. You now begin to write laws for them. You will think all night, what can I give them again? Okay. They should stop eating cocoa buns. Start to eat chicken. You know that's what it is? You know what cocoa buns is? Okay. That's why you laugh the way you laugh. If you live in Lebanon, you know what cocoa buns is. Psalm 78. I'm making this very simple for you to understand. I hope it is. That's why a Christian, when he has a hard time, he say, God, why? You know why he's saying that? His mind is blinded. Why are you asking God? You think he's coming by the side to do something. You may not know what he's doing. You may not. That's why we ask, why? Why? My brother, my sister, just only believe that he's doing something that you don't understand. You may not know why it's happening. Hold on to God. And then you are crying in the congregation. Yes, Lord, I surrender. You are surrendering to the devil. You may not know why. Whatever storm you are passing through, you may not know why. He knows the best for you. God, in the Holy Ghost with you.
He knows. That's a misinterpretation of tongues. That's a wrong translation. He knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. That's exactly what Moses did to them. His secret things belong to our God. You're a person of unbelief. Hallelujah. Are you there? Psalm 78 verse 1. Verse 2 says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. These were hidden things. Dark sayings. Riddles. So those things were riddles. They required an answer. Let me say this quickly. The Old Testament, write it down. It put a big letter. And I want you to do this. Write it that the Old Testament must be explained. Did you hear what I said? Make it. So when you are studying these notes, you see what I just said. The Old Testament must be explained. You cannot believe it, though. Are you following my point? Don't believe it. Explain it first. The Old Testament must be what? Explained. Hallelujah. Let's follow this. Luke 10, verse 24. I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Many prophets and kings. Look at verse 22. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. So watch me. Say no. Every time you read that word "no man" in the epistles or in the four gospels, it means no one, both angels and man. Is whoever God, whatever Jesus says about God, that's who he is. And Jesus' clearest and most consistent noun, or better still, adjective he uses for God is what? The Father. I taught a teaching, a series in 1997 or so, and I said, the Father fact of God. Know the Father. You have to know the Father. You will discover, maybe I'll explain in the second service, that what people have known in the Old Testament were angels. It's pure angel worship. Know the Father. That's why Jesus said the time is coming where there will be true worshippers who worship the Father. Then he says, God is a spirit. So he says, God. Then he says, the Father. So that worship must have what in your mind? The Father. The weakest rendering should be, look at how you relate with your earthly father. You are not in a covenant with your father. We are not in a covenant with our father too. You don't have a covenant with God. Don't let your eyes just do like the thunder is in it. You don't have any covenant with God. How is that sad news? Is that bad gist? You have a relationship with God that He Himself created by giving birth to you through the gospel. That's why throughout your life, you are His responsibility. If you like, stop believing. Say, I don't believe again. You are still His responsibility. I don't believe Jesus died for me. Don't worry. Just some others do have them. What if I stop believing? Don't worry. You're already born. You're born. Hallelujah. And what you have is eternal life. A pastor was telling me how they had this pastor's meeting. And so we were saying, what if a Christian sins and then Jesus should come? I don't know why Jesus should come. Everybody that said that thing, they didn't see him come. Who has ever seen Jesus come? Why is that the threat? Those who have used it, they have died, they have gone. You are still using it. Okay. See, someone that said, no further explaining. He said, let's go to the most popular scripture we all use. We've all used it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish. I said, but we all read, but has everlasting life. He says, that's all. Everybody said, it's true. Everlasting life. You know, when we get to the Bible,
that words change meaning. You don't get the Bible that past tense becomes future. You hear delivered. Brethren, we need deliverance. No, you actually need deliverance. From bad English. What's everlasting life? Can't even say it. What is shall not perish? Shall not perish. You think the person who said did not know that there will be a time you start doubting? There's nobody here that has never doubted God. Raise your hand. It takes care of all those things. Hallelujah. Are you following my point? So rest and calm down. I don't go and eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I joke. Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35, quickly. But Abraham knew those secrets, did he? He knew some of those secrets. Galatians 3:8. Glory to God. Those guys were just appearing like they were stars. They just believed. Abraham! Moses! They were just believers. Galatians 3:8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So did Abraham know about this gospel? Yes. What's that gospel? That, wait, only Christ's work will stand. You know, if the Jews believe this gospel, there will be no need for other story. 621 laws because of unbelief. Unbelief is not good, though. Because of unbelief. Everything about Abraham is hinged on one verse and one action. After believing in the Lord, he did other things though. That man was a G. But he believed once. That act of faith is why he is who he is today. Have you believed the gospel? Have you believed the gospel? That's one act. Follow this now. Titus 1:2. I believe that if there's anything, churches should spend quality time teaching God's word. Teaching God's word. We sing too much. We just sing. Somebody will come and give testimony, he will first sing. Somebody is in prayer, he will sing. We sing. We do. You know, we major on the minor. And we now minor on the major things. It's like the person preaching the word is punishing us. Open your Bible. Turn your Bible. Someone told the guy who told him to come to this church, said he opened the Bible too much in that church. He didn't come back. Tell the pastor, said, it's too much. It's too much. So I was telling me, he said, services are long, sir. They are long. I said, is the service or the teaching? He said, it's the teaching. And I said, come. Now, the guy is a project manager, and he manages for very big corporations in Nigeria. I said, how long do you train your staff? I said, the whole day. So you do training the whole day. So we, concerning internal things, should be trained for a few minutes. I said, admit something, sir. You're a carnal Christian. You can have money, but you're a carnal Christian. But that's why you have money, sir. Titus 1:2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began, he has never changed. Hallelujah. There is no darkness in his promise. His promise is full of life and light. He has never changed. What has changed has been man's inconsistency. Look at Isaiah 44 verse 22. You know, like just like Moses, all the people that followed after him will present the law and faith. Did you observe it? All the prophets. I think we did that in law and the prophets. Right? All that followed him. Isaiah 44. The same Isaiah that talked about people's bangles on their feet,
talked about people that was saying, whoa, 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 whoa. He now says in verse 22. Isaiah 34:22. Let's read it together now. Are you there? I have blotted out. Are you there? I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. So what did he do first? Did he say, return unto me, so that I will redeem you? Well, the same man will say, whoa, put on sackcloth. What are you saying? You are being consistent. Of course, he's a man. What we have seen in the Old Testament is the inconsistency of man, but you will see the constancy of God in his promises. Who's following what I'm saying here? Isaiah 43 again, verse 25. So verse 25. For I am he that blot out thy transgression for my own sake, I will not remember your sins. Hallelujah. For my own sake. That is, what is it for my own sake? He says, look, to show you who I am. For my own sake. Who's following this morning? Are you following this? In the Old Testament. For my own sake, I don't remember sins. For my own sake. That means what is consistent with my character is what? I do not remember sins. Some of you are really battling it in your head. I can perceive it. I'll say this. That sometimes you're thinking, I say, I hope this is not just toasting. I hope it's not toasting. How can just someone be God and this is just who he is? And he's not showing his power. He's not toasting. That's exactly what they did to Moses. That was it to Moses. They wanted to see God through the inconsistency of a man. And they saw it. Somebody follow this. Did Moses know everything we just read in Isaiah? Everything we read now in Isaiah, did Moses know it? Did he know? He knew it then. Did he ask them, did he make them not know it?
No.
They did not want to. And there are still believers today speaking in tongues. In fact, in tongues of angels and tongues of men. And they don't want to know it. Enemy is a license to sin. Hey, I don't want to talk with God. I don't want to talk with God. God knows that I even heard your message. Ha! I won't sleep overnight. I don't want trouble with God. Don't say all these things. Don't say that. I don't want trouble. I don't want God to be angry. Hallelujah. Moses did not obey any of those things that he gave them to do. That was that one time that his sister and his brother were trying to blame him. That he went to marry an Ethiopian. See what that angel did to them. One just caught leprosy. He disobeyed the same laws he gave. He said, leprosy! He was now pleading with the angel to let them be. He said, no, let this one first. This is damn sir. Because that angel had an issue with women. That. I have a series I'm going to teach on women. But later years, I don't want katakata around. I just talked about church wedding. And the body of Christ is turning around. I don't know. Say so it must be church blessing. So I say, how do you now bless who are married? Teach them who they are in Christ. What's church blessing? I wed you. Say after me. I vow. You are making vows. Anybody is not swear. How did I get to all this one? God have mercy on me. Okay. Look at Numbers 7 verse 89. And when, look at this. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, when he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony from between two cherubims, and he spake unto him. After giving them the command, he now went into the mercy seat, himself. He didn't carry, he didn't wear any priestly garment. He didn't do anything. He did not put blood. He didn't do anything. He just went inside. You know, like, we looked at him, would he fall down there? Fall down, down, fall down there. I don't know. I've asked this question before. I remember I asked one Jewish priest years ago. I said, was there any priest that ever died in that mercy seat? He said, we don't have it. Is there anybody that, you know, like, they all just live in fear? And sometimes the angel executing would have even gone somewhere to do something else. Even in 26, are you learning something? Why do we teach these kind of things? Why do we teach the word of God, you know, this way? And why are we focusing on this? So that you can be relaxed. So people are too tensed. They are too tensed. When they hear God, they are tensed. So when they hear their daddy is coming, they begin to shake. You can't honk. Your father honks. Or when I was going on that, some of you maybe like that. He said, ah! That's the truth. Say, are you doing it? Close the door! Close the door! Maybe somebody had gone to his room in his house and shut the door, quickly make the bed. Put the, there was no DSM there. Put the special NTA, or put it up. Put the video. And you now say the video is hot. Yeah. You now begin to clean the video with. Who saw this video? That is the son. But I know those VHS or Betamax. You know, I was telling, I showed something to my daughter. She said, what's this? I said, cassette. What's in it? I said, movie. How can I explain video? Cassette on, forward, rewind, or you clean the head. With spirit. I didn't explain all that nonsense. Hebrews 11:26, are you learning something? By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to become a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming, hallelujah, the reproach of Christ's greater riches, that is, Christ's death was for him, which was in the future, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hallelujah. So he had seen in the secrets of God the reproaches of Christ. Glory to God. That's why in Acts 6:7, you must have wondered, the priests, Acts 6:7, the priests, are you there? Acts 6:7. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to what? The faith. Who were priests? Those who were practicing the law, they now were obedient to the faith. They believed. They believed the gospel. So, even those who were practicing the law as a profession, as a lifestyle, saw a way out in faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody following this? Look at John 1:18. If a priest who knew the letter of the law, if a priest could resort to faith in Christ, why would someone who is a believer? A believer now wants to become a priest. John 1:18. No man, actually the word is no one, has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Now when the Jew uses the word bosom, it means that you will see this one through this one. Remember that, why was Lazarus said to be in the bosom of Abraham? Abraham was the one doing the talking. Are you following what I'm saying? So, in other words, when you say in the bosom of, you are saying they are together. So when it says no one has seen God at any time, save the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That means through Jesus Christ, we have known who? The Father. Said no one has seen God at any time. Including Elijah, Elisha, Moses, no one had seen God. What were they now seeing? They were interacting with angels. Which I've explained, you know, before now. Look at John 5. John 5. Hallelujah. I explained this a bit last week. Jesus spoke about the most important prophet of the Old Testament, who was John. John the Baptist. He was a burning, verse 35. It was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a city to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time. Hi. Seriously? Hallelujah. At any time. Nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Every time Jesus speaks about himself or about the Father, he uses the word believe. Or many times, better still, let me be categorical. In verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's the Old Testament. They are there which testify of what? Me. And you will not come to me that you may have what? Life. So life is in a person. So in Christ Jesus, we find revelation, we find clarity, and let me add this, we find correction. We correct an impression of God. If the prophets and Moses got it right, why then did Jesus come? Why did he come? And don't forget, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Why did he come? He came so that you will know him. Are you learning something here? So the power of God is as revealed by Jesus. So knowing Jesus makes us correct every other actor in the Old Testament. Are you following? Are you following? Just like the drama in Mount Sinai. You know, the drama in Mount Sinai appeared like it was God, you know, saying those things, making people fear and all that. But by the time you come to the epistles, most importantly from Acts of the Apostles, even from the sermon of Stephen, you will be seeing the characters there. Stephen, look at Acts 7. Stephen opened up the space. And he said, it was the angel, follow this, Acts 7, the angel which spoke to him in Mount Sinai. Acts 7:38. So they unbundled it for you. Acts 7:38. Acts 7:53 says, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. That is that is Stephen. Stephen knew that on Mount Sinai, what was accorded to God was given, were actually the activities of who? Angels. Did you notice that every time Jesus was teaching and interpreting himself, and he mentioned the whole Testament, he never says, I've said it to you before, where he says, and he went through the scripture, the things that concern him, he didn't say Moses and all the angels. Moses and all the prophets. Don't forget that. So here we are, it's unbundled, angels. In Galatians 3, we read that earlier on, Galatians 3:19, in opening up the space again, Galatians 3:19 says, it was ordained by angels in the hand of who? A mediator. Angels. Hebrews 2:2, if the word spoken by angels, Hebrews 2:2, look at Galatians 4. There's something I want to show you there quickly. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Tell me, verse 21. You that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman.
He who was of the born woman was born after the flesh, and he of the free woman was by promise. So he makes a distinction. And he was talking about the law and the grace of God. Law and faith. The law and the spirit. Don't forget that. Go to Hebrews 12 quickly. Hebrews 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you in Hebrews 12, 18? For you are not come unto that mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with blackness, darkness, and tempest. Which mount is this? Sinai. Thank you. Look at verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet and a voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. For if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses the mediator himself said, I exceedingly fear and quake. They have not come to that mount. Now, who were the actors on that mount? Huh? Who were the actors on that mount? His father. Who were the actors? And you hear the Lord said, the angel of the Lord. We'll see that in the second service. Where you find that the word Elohim was used for angels and God. I'll show you an example later. So you discover this and he says you have not come to that mount. Rather you have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels. Hallelujah. You have come to Mount Zion. So you see that the experience men had with angels who were also learning. Who were learning. Was taken as an experience with God. I'll give you a typical example. Maybe I'll just explain later. Do you notice that Jacob, despite the fact that his encounter was an angel, said, I've seen the face of God. You and I know that Jacob's experience was with an angel. But look at his interpretation. I have seen the face of who? God. Was he correct? Was he correct? How about talk to me now? Was he correct? So, you will discover that several encounters like that in the Old Testament was accorded to God. But Jesus has straightened it out for you. No man had seen God at any time save the Son. The very first time God will be seen is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? We'll look at a few things like that in the second service. Look at Colossians 2. You need to get this study. That's so great salvation. No, it's so great. No, it's law in Genesis though. I mean it. There in Genesis. Huh? And what? Okay, law in Genesis and the law and prophets series 2. Okay, that's where the angelic aspect was well explained. Look at Colossians 2. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. Now, observe this very well. That word worshipping of angels is from the word teskei in the Greek. Theskeia. It actually means religion. Religion of angels. In Acts 26 verse 5, Paul used it. Acts 26 verse 5, Theskei. Just pay attention very, very well. Acts 26 verse 5. Of our religion, I leave the Pharisee. Acts 26 verse 5. James 1, 26 and 27, where James mentioned pure religion. Now pay attention. That word treskai is from the word treskos. Treskos. Now I told you before, you can know a noun from a verb, right? Or know a word from its root word, where it was taken from. Now the word treskos has to do with something you fear or you tremble before. You fear and you tremble. Did you observe that when Paul was saying the worshipping of angels, he was talking about the law. Did you observe it? Did you notice it? That what he was discussing was the law. Taste not, touch not, handle not. Talking about all those things that were figurative. The types and shadows. And he calls it worshipping of who? Angels. Who's following me? Let me see how you are following this. So if you are following the law that way, you are in a religion of angels. Angelic religion. Whereas what we have been given in Christ is the mind of God. We don't learn of God from angels. Are you listening? He has given us the spirit of truth. Glory to God. We have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the explanation of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I have the explanation of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I don't do angel religion. Say, I don't do angel religion. So all those things they were doing from Sinai was what? Angel religion. Hallelujah. I don't do it. And Paul tells you what is it. He says, taste not, touch not. See what he calls it. He says, not holding the head, from which all the body and by joints and bands being nourished, ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Therefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? He says, taste not, touch not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. Hallelujah. After the commandments and doctrines of who? Men. Hallelujah. That is the summary of that dispensation. Glory to God. Who's seeing it? Let me see your hand. Can you see this? So legalism is angelus treskia. Trembling for angels. But don't forget, those angels, no deal, they are already in Zion. Hallelujah. So is their former state that you are worshipping. Because when Jesus was justified in the spirit, he was seen of angels. The same angels, 1 Peter 1:12, the Bible says they were desiring to look into the gospel. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Is that same worship of me? That's why some people believe that an angel is at the gate of heaven. That's why they even imagine there's a gate. You know, it takes a lot to think there is a gate. There is a gate. How big is the gate? How tall is the gate? There is a gate. And then a certain angel stands there. And he has the right to be looking at your name in a certain book. Angelus Treskia. Vainly puffed up. Go and look at many of the false religions. There's always an angelic visitation from somewhere. But we have the mind of Christ. Shall I have the mind of Christ? You'll be at rest with what God has shown you in Christ. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. Look at Hebrews 2:2. Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So that salvation is related to what the angel said. We are saved from their utterances. Hallelujah. Can you see it? It contrasts what angels said and what who said? The Lord. He never said what the angel said was what the Lord said. Did you see that? What did the Lord speak about? The gospel. What did the angels talk about? Transgressions and disobedience that will receive a just recompense of reward. Can you see a contrast? Can you see a contrast? Let me say that following this. Was he studying the power of God? Hallelujah. Okay? So God's power is in what he did in Christ. Ephesians 1:19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following this?
So when you take the Old Testament, what I say is you write in bold letters, it must be explained. Imagine someone saying that an evil spirit came from the presence of the Lord. Then why are we casting out devils? You say, go into all the world and embrace demons. You know, that's what it should be. To embrace demons. Do you know that most of the praise worship we give to God is from the Old Testament? Why are you laughing? It's you that knows why you're laughing. I have no inkling. God will judge you. You know, I'm very innocent. But you know, most of this, we keep calling names. What are our names? You are this one. You are this one. You are this one. You are okay, just say, the husband of Pharaoh. This one is one. And when he gave the spirit of the son to her, he only said, Abba Father. So say, how can you just call God Father? A certain man of God said, when you say, some people, they want to praise the Lord. He said, thank you, Father. He said, thank you, Father. Let me praise my God. And everybody in the very last time, they said, Father. Is it a football club? Yeah. You can imagine. You can't just call God. That's an American way of praising God. Did you ever discover that Jesus didn't praise God with many verbs, many adjectives? You are the highest of the highest. You are the greatest of the greatest. Who is there like unto you? The husband of Pharaoh. The father-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. You are the one that when you decide to act, who can stand you? When you decide to move, who can move you? When you decide to speak, who can resist you? Oh God, who can resist you? Men resist God and he's not angry. Say, whatever he plans to do, you will do it. It's not true. There are things he wants that he didn't come to pass. There are things that God wished didn't happen. God wants all men to be saved. Is it happening? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are believers that would never come to the knowledge of the truth. There are many things. God is not a tyrant. It must happen. If I say it, it must happen. Right from the Garden of Eden, it did not happen. Hallelujah. So there are, you know, in your mind, they're thinking, is that not weakness? That's, I got you. That's actually power. That's the power of God. His goodness is his power. Hallelujah. Are you there? You interpret power from the devil's perspective. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought where? In Christ. So I say in Christ. Glory to God. Chapter 2 verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through you, Jesus Christ. Everything is done where? In Christ. Hallelujah. Everything is done where? In Christ. Thanks be unto God. Go to Hebrews 1. Are you learning something? So what do you see the Old Testament has? A progressive revelation of God. It's not definite. When you saw the Old Testament, you are seeing how men progressed in knowing God. You know, in that progression, you will find mistakes. You will find errors. You will find misunderstandings. But in Christ, we have full light. Hallelujah. We are on full throttle in Christ. There's no darkness in Christ. Everything is clear. Hallelujah. Everything is clear. God didn't ask anyone to use the sword. That's when Peter used it in Marcus' ear. The thing was dangling on the floor. In the midst of the tension, I like how Pastor Seko says it. In the midst of this tension, Jesus picked up the ear and put it back. In the midst of the tension. I mean, he put the ear back. Said, those that live by the sword, they
perish by the sword. So anything you are saying people use sword for in the Bible, God didn't command it. Jesus corrected that impression there. It was so important that he had to correct that impression even when he was being captured. It's not God. He picked the air back and put it. And Marcus said, thank you, Lord Jesus. And he still was there. Hallelujah. So you can see what his power does. He had to correct. You know, I told you in Genesis that it was important that Jesus did what he did there. Or else we will have issues till today. But didn't Peter call the Marcus here? Was Jesus not there? He corrected that. So all these words, all the Goliath and David, I beg. Power of God. You are looking for Goliath. Oh. You are distracted. Hebrews 1:2. The person who said, and his enemies be scattered, did not even know what it was. When he said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies, he said, the last enemy is death. It's not human beings. Hallelujah. It's not human beings. Every time God was speaking about the enemy in the Old Testament, he was not talking about man. Glory to God. Man is the object of his love. What is man that you are mindful of him? Not the son of man that you care for him. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? Hebrews 1:2. God who has sundry times, verse 1, and in diverse manners spoken time past to our fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Are you there? So, who do we focus on? We focus on the Son. You know, angels too, they have changed their views. Angels have changed their views. That's why they didn't misbehave like that in the Acts of the Apostles. It was just much more. You know, Ephesians 3:10 says that to the intent that is made known unto the principality and power, the manifold wisdom of God by the church. So angels have changed their view about God. Please change your own. Alright? Angels, they have changed their own views. Change your own. Glory to God. Are you there? Look at men's views generally. Look at John 9. You see consistently man's views about God. This is just by the way, if you begin to mentor children from an early age about God this way, they will come out with beautiful characters. They'll come out well. Their character will be good. Just mentor them about God. They didn't read them by book or Bible stories. They didn't go for father and die services. They didn't take them to go and wash anywhere. They just learned of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And someone was telling me one time they were in school and someone said, that guy has a tattoo, he will go to hell. He said, I told them, no, you don't go to hell because you have tattoo. That the only reason why you go to hell is not because of sin. It's because you don't believe in Jesus. It's just as simple as that. I mean, you can call that boy a heretic easily. John 9. Jesus saw somebody who was born blind. And then they said, Master, look at man's belief. Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? That means there was a prevalent belief system that it is sin that makes people sick. It's a lie. It is sickness that makes people sick. If sin makes people sick, everybody should be sick at the same time. Should be in the same maternity, in the same ward, there will be no doctor. Are you following my point? But look at that was the belief system. Who did sin? The disciples, his own disciples, not people, his disciples asked that question. I tell you, it takes time to understand though. They asked him who sinned. He said, no man sinned. Let me tell you something. People have interpreted that way. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. But that the works of God should be made manifest, he was made blind. How would you read the Bible like that? What was the answer to the question? No man sinned, nor his parents. That's the answer to the question. Then Jesus now elaborated, but that the works of God should be made manifest, I will walk the works. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. Acts 1:6. Will thou restore the kingdom again to Israel? Their mentality again about kingdom is that you must bring in soldiers. You must own things. You must have things. You must show your power. Or call God, show me your power. You know that song? Another one is a miracle. No. He had, you know, when he rose from the dead, he already showed them his kingdom. That his kingdom is a rescue. Rescuing man from the danger of sin. That's his kingdom. In Luke 9, they say, show us your power like Elijah did. And Jesus, again, at the point of his death, he rescued Marcus miraculously. The Old Testament needs explanation. Hallelujah. Did you see? You see, that was what Jesus kept doing. He kept explaining. He kept collecting an impression. Are you following what I'm saying? He kept collecting an impression. You know why? Look at your Bible alone. Look at how many pages has the Old Testament. It's much. With stories upon stories. Somebody married somebody called leprosy. Somebody somewhere. 3,000 were struck there. 10,000 struck there. The whole city was wiped out. You hear those things? And it's all in your head. Then pastors too now get on the pulpit, and they are now able ministers of the Old Testament, not of the spirit but of the letter. Hallelujah. With excellent ministries of condemnation. Every sermon has death. Brethren, check your life. Well, Lord spoke to me last night. He said, son, I am so displeased with my people that I wonder how I became their father. It's a prophetic word. John 8. In John 8, they brought the woman to Jesus and said she was caught in the act. Imagine the man wasn't there. Did she do it to herself? You can see that law of Moses is so chauvinistic. But you don't blame Moses. They gave him the right. And would you blame Moses? Moses grew up initially under his system, the Pharaoic system. And he also had, I explained to you before, he also had temper issues. So whatever it was, you will see anger in his writing. There are people that preach the law, they are very angry people. Very angry. Every little thing, it is judged. Let us see whose God is God. Two Christians. Two believers. Let's see whose God is God. If I be a man of God, Elijah, keep quiet. What's that? I be a man of God. Let fire come down. If I be a man of God, that's the proof of a man of God. That's why the writer of Hebrews does not mention him. You know, Elijah has no Greek word. Elijah, you cannot pick an utterance of both of them. Want both of them. You can't pick any utterance of them to say you are explaining Christ. Well, none. You can't pick any utterance. Paul mentioned Elijah just once. He said he was interceding against Israel. The only person that mentioned him well was James. James, the lost brother, tells Jesus, he corrects their impression. He said, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. And the hypocrite, which is what the Lord turns you to, they went away. The Lord turns you to a hypocrite. That's why I said, judge, so that you not be judged. When Jesus made that statement, he was condemning the law. So the same measure you judge shall be measured unto you. He was explaining the law and the kind of hypocrisy. That's why Moses will give a law and not fulfill it. And then the people will be punished for blaming him
for accusing you of not doing it. They were the ones that had problem. Hypocrisy.
But Jesus has delivered us from hypocrisy. Hallelujah. In Matthew 12, they didn't want to eat on the Sabbath day. They told, why? How can you ask Jesus why he was healing the sick on the Sabbath day? What was the Sabbath for? Why would you ask someone to take up his bed and walk? And walk. Shouldn't do that on the Sabbath day. What should you have done on the Sabbath day? The bed should take up the man and walk. It has said, which one of you, if you're caught, your donkey should, you won't go after your donkey. Well, hypocrites. The law makes hypocrites of people. Those are those who teach legalism, all these holiness teachings, they just make hypocrites out of people. Pretenders. If you see what's in people's hearts, let me leave that. So Jesus, we explained Moses, could you go to Matthew 5, verse 35. He re-explained Moses. He re-explained everything Moses said. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He said to them, in verse 38, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whatsoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man shall sue thee at the law and take away the coat, let him have thy cloak also. Eh? This is too contrary to what Moses thought. Then he went further. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not your way. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love. Everything he was saying was written under the law. So you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, hallelujah, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Did you say love the enemy? Oh, that's the devil. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Let's take verse 45 together. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Sends rain on the just and the unjust. Without going to the second service, which I'm going to explain this, this should be clear to you that God did not kill Pharaoh. It's as simple as that. He didn't kill Pharaoh. God did not kill anybody. The only thing that God will ever kill is death. Hallelujah. I thought we got that. So his character is in the Son. We see Jesus in the Son. Hallelujah. We see God in the Son. We don't see God in angels. In Hebrews 1, quickly. He says, which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son? Verse 13. Sit on my right hand, and I will make thine enemies thy footstool. Hebrews 1:13. In Hebrews 1:5, which of the angels said at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? So he's making a distinction between angels and Jesus. And who would you listen to? Who would you listen to? Jesus. Jesus reveals the Father to us. He reveals God to us. Angels ministered for men. Hebrews 1:13 and 14. That's why when an angel comes before a man, he will say, fear not. Why did he say fear not? That means take charge. You'll be responsible for this. Man has always been responsible for angels and their ministry in the earth. Always. Look at the classic case of Elisha. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 15 to 23. What did the angels do in that instance? The angels hearkened to the voice of Elisha. Look at 2 Kings 6. Verse 15 to 23. The servant of the man of God was ridden early and gone forth. Behold, an host come past with the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, wait for this. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, 2 Kings 6:17, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when he had come, when they had come down to him, Elisha now prayed unto the Lord and said, smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Let me ask you, without causing those people to be blind, would Elisha, and Gehazi, would they have been hurt? No. So what happened here, again, was the command of man. The command. It was man that gave the instruction. So they hearkened to his words. That's why the angel will say to Daniel, I came for your words. They hearkened to the voice of his word. They hearkened to what men, whatever sound men give to angels, is what they act upon. When Jesus stopped his disciples in Luke 9 from commanding fire, if he had not stopped them, they would have, it would have happened. So when you see the ministry of angels change in the four gospels, then the book of Acts and the epistles, it's because men had what? Changed. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you following this? Men had changed. So just like Moses and his angels, alright, so Jesus revealed the character of God. And you see, I'll close now. He reveals to us the character of God. So don't see Jesus as an addition. Jesus was not an addition. Jesus is the revelation. Is the revelation. He's the one that brings clarity to our minds about God. How many of you are comfortable with Jesus? Let me see your hand, please. Are you comfortable with Jesus? You are comfortable with him. Hallelujah. So what do you do now? You take Christ to explain the Old Testament. Because he is the explanation of all things. Jesus Christ is not an addition. He is the clarification. There is no jealousy in God. There is no hatred. There is no evil for evil in God. Hallelujah. There is no evil for evil. So let it be clear in your mind. Praise God. In your mind. And don't forget I said earlier. Let nobody bring you into angel worship. Worship the Father. Hallelujah. Say, I worship the Father. Worship means you approach. That means you approach the Father. Your approach should be to the Father. Not to the impressions that have been created by angels. Also, when you sing. Now, you know, worship is not just singing. Worship is an approach. What approach do you have? What approach? Approach you have. So in looking at the power of God, and what is the power of God? What does the power of God accomplish? The power of God accomplishes his promise that he gave in his son. Power of God has no evil in it? No. The power of God in human wisdom will be rendered as weakness. Are we right? No, we saw that last week. His power will be rendered in human weakness, so human wisdom as weakness. How does it say? The Greeks are saying this is foolishness. For the Jews, a stumbling block. How in the world would you call this wisdom? How is this power? How can you say someone is God and he wants to save and he saves by death? But it says to us which are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Just in a minute, just sit there, just lift your hands and just worship the Father. Speak to the Father. Speak no longer to God revealed by angels. Speak no longer to God revealed by man. But God revealed as man. The person of Jesus. Lift those hands wherever you are. Lift those hands. Put on a smile. Put on a look on your face as someone relating with who gave birth to him. You can stand to your feet. Let's worship the Father.